It's good to be back again. We've been gone for a couple weeks, and it feels good to be back with the brothers. You know, as we were 2 weeks ago, we were up at Michigan there with Nathan and Candace. We got to meet with brothers and sisters up there. It was a blessing, and Nathan and Candace are striving towards the mission field, and it's a blessing to see their heart and their commitment. You know, when I think about the lifetime commitment or the long-term commitment, that the commitment they're making in translating the Old Testament into another language, you know, that looks like a long time, a long commitment. And so I praise the Lord for that example. And, you know, the Lord wants that kind of commitment from us, too, in our lives. And so after being gone for 2 weeks, you know, I just want to express my appreciation for the brothers and their coming here on Sunday morning and the vibrancy and the depth and the brothers have. You know, I just want to say I appreciate that. It's a blessing. And so before we begin here, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather with the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus again. Lord, I do thank you, Lord, that we do have brothers and sisters who love you with all their hearts, soul, strength, and mind. And Lord, I pray that today we could again just be continue the rest of the day, be encouraged and edified. And thank you for the edification already this morning and the singing. I do pray, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of your word. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon my tongue, Lord. Just use me as a channel and vessel for your glory and for your honor. I do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I've titled the message, Is Jesus Christ Your Lord? And so my heart today is just to encourage each one today to, you know, let Jesus Christ be Lord. You know, if Christ is going to be reality, as we have heard already this morning, he needs to be Lord. Without that, we're going to be, like we heard, you know, those other realities are going to be checking in. And so I think the more we yield our life and let him be Lord, the more the reality, our expectations will become. And so the Apostle Paul in Philippians on that, he acknowledges some of his realities. You know, he says, I haven't attained. I'm not where I want to be. You know, he was acknowledging. But he also lifted up his high expectations. This is where I want to be. I press toward the mark and the prize, and always looking unto that high expectation. And when we have that high expectation, I like what he says, in that pressing toward that, God looks at us as a perfect heart towards him. And so even though we do face reality, you know, Paul acknowledges that, and then in that heart, God says is perfect towards him. And so, and that's my heart today, is to lift up Jesus Christ as Lord, and then, you know, that is our prize. And the more we yield our life to him as Lord, the more we can, the more blessed our life will be in him. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, so just the opening verse here, this is the Apostle Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And And he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Not only is he Christ the Savior, but he is Lord. And so Lord signifies having power or authority. For example, as owner, as master. Is Jesus Christ master? Is he your owner? And when he's our master, when he's our owner, then we can truly be his followers, truly be his disciples, truly know his will. For example, of master, in Acts 16, this maid or this damsel, it calls her a damsel. It says that she, these masters had her for their gain, for their benefit. And in the same way, Jesus Christ, you know, wants to be our master so that he gets glory, so that he gets benefited, so that the God of heaven is exalted in this world, in this dark world that we live in. And so, but once she had an encounter with the apostles there, Paul and Silas, she no longer was a benefit of use to her masters. And it's the same way, you know, if we are in fellowship with the gods of this world, then he's our master, and we're of no benefit. We're not bringing glory to the Lord. And so it's important that Jesus Christ is master, owner, and Lord. And so many people say they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but is he really and truly your Lord, master, and owner? If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, then most certainly he is not your Savior. He cannot be Savior without being Lord. When Jesus Christ is Lord, he actually rules over your life as the masters did of the damsel. And so the apostles, they always addressed him as Lord. You know, they acknowledged him as Lord. They acknowledged him as owner and master of their life. And so today, I just want to lift up the lordship of Jesus Christ because he truly is Lord. Revelation says that on his thigh and on his vesture is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to see a little bit later the importance of it. And the apostles lifted him up as Lord of their life because he truly was the Lord of their life. They left their occupations. Paul left everything he knew, and he truly became Lord of their life. You know, in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, here's Peter preaching to Cornelius, and one of the very first things that he left Cornelius know, and that Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. It's one of the very first things that Peter preached to him, that he is Lord. He is Lord of all. And I think that's important. And I also think Cornelius was very familiar with this concept of lordship because in Acts 10, verse 7 says, he had household servants and soldiers that waited on him continually. And so Peter let him know right up front, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. You know, he spoke to his soldier and his household servants, and they went to Peter. They obeyed him because Cornelius was their Lord. And so Peter addresses him as Lord to Cornelius. And we go through the epistles. Many of them, we see them addressing him, Jesus Christ, our Lord, or Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just Jesus Christ, it was Lord, because, and I think there's a reason behind that, is because he truly was their Lord. And it's important that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my master, my owner. You know, the Bible says that we are not our own. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so, and we jump over to Philippians chapter 3, very familiar testimony to many of us. The Apostle Paul gives his testimony. I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time, but he tells us what all he was there. He was of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And we jump down to verse 8. He says, or I'll start at verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. See, when Jesus Christ became Lord, all that other stuff fell off. It no longer was part of Paul. It fell off. And I like Titus chapter 1, verse 4, how Paul addresses him. He says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He acknowledged him as Lord, then as Savior. You know, and so Jesus Christ, in order to be Savior, needs to be Lord. Otherwise, if he's not Lord, then we're just living in our same old self, and what have we been actually saved from? We're still the old man if he's not Lord, if he hasn't become Lord of our life and changed us into a new creation. And so Paul acknowledges him as Lord first and then as Savior. Jesus Christ needs to become Lord, and then he becomes Savior. You know, upon Paul's conversion, Jesus Christ immediately became Lord. Paul's second question that he asked the Lord on his encounter there on the road to Damascus, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So Paul bowed his heart and humbled himself and acknowledged he was no longer his own and asked, what do you want me to do? You know, Paul is recognizing, I'm no longer owner. I'm no longer master. But someone else is in control. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And so Jesus Christ became his Lord immediately. He immediately became his master, his owner. Paul humbled himself and acknowledged he is no longer his own master, but he has a new owner, new master, and asked, what do you want me to do? And that's a good place to be. What do you want me to do? And so Paul, in all his epistles, as he begins them, he acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 2 and 12, he acknowledges him as Lord. 2 Timothy 1, 2, Philemon, and there's many more. Peter, in 1 Peter 1, 3, he acknowledges him as Lord. And so Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord whether we acknowledge it or not. He is. I mean, we can go through life. Our life portrays whether we acknowledge that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. You know, we can think that we are owners. We have everything in control. But we really don't, because the Bible says he is in control of everything. Ephesians 1:20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So everything was put under Jesus Christ's feet. Whether there's principalities and powers, mights and dominions, and Revelation 19:16 says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so if Jesus Christ is not truly Lord of our life, then someone else is. You know, there's only two kingdoms in this world. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of our life, then Satan is. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And so the Lord Jesus Christ truly wants to be Lord. I'm going to turn back to Philippians chapter 3 again. You know, Paul acknowledges him as Lord. In verse 12, he says that he's apprehended of Christ Jesus. And in verse 14, he says he's pressing towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he's acknowledging here that he is Lord. And then in verse 17, he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. So Paul here is saying, follow those who walk like I walk, whose life is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, as we go through life, look for people who Jesus Christ is Lord of their life and follow their example. He says, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. You know, look for examples of people. And so it's important because our eternal destiny will be determined by how we treat Jesus Christ as Lord, or just if we go about our own way. It seems like here in verse 18 he says that for many walk, of whom I've told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Apparently, Paul's dealing here with professing Christians. You know, we heard Brother Jerry share this morning how many of them, you know, some departed. Some, all of Asia forsook me. Demas forsook me. Many of Jesus' disciples. And so Paul is dealing with these very things here. And it's because Jesus Christ is not Lord. And so it's very important that, you know, that we walk with people that encourage us under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he says they're enemies of the cross. And then verse 19, he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. You know, what's their belly? You know, it could have two meanings here. One could be gluttony, you know, having no temperance in your eating habits. That's one meaning it could be. Their God is their belly. You know, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, you know, they ate and they made merry and they had great feasts. You know, their God was their belly. And the other thing it could mean is your innermost desires, your heart's desires, living your life to the flesh. You know, for example, in John 7:38, Jesus said, out of your belly, he that believeth, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, out of the innermost being, out of your soul, out of your heart is flowing the word of God. And so, but out of these people's bellies is flowing, you know, loose living. It says, whose God is their belly. That's actually what the word belly means there. It's the same word as in John 7:38, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, out of his innermost being. You know, just That is their God, you know, their self, their selfish desires. That's what the vine gives for the meaning of belly. And so, you know, because Jesus Christ is not Lord, and therefore their selfish desires is their God. And so, and it says also, who glory is in their shame. That word shame means nakedness there. Whose glory is in their shame. They, that which is, this is what the meaning divine gives, that which is opposed to modesty or purity, nakedness. You know, for example, in Exodus 32:25, and this is when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. That is what that word shame means. You know, to start exposing their body, you know, and glory. You know, the, I heard this one time, you know, God says he will not share his glory with another. And so it's important that our bodies are not drawing glory, that the glory of our bodies, they're made fearfully and wonderfully. It's not drawing away from the glory of the Lord. And so they glory is in their shame, it says. You know, God wants the glory. Jesus Christ wants the glory. He wants to be Lord. And so we should not do anything that to our bodies that draws glory to my body. Their glory is in their shame, in their nakedness, revealing it. And so and the next one there, it says, who mind earthly things. You know, earthly things. There's many earthly things. There's work, there's job, there's fun, there's pleasure, there's sports. But, you know, when we're under the lordship of Jesus Christ, what does the Bible say? In 2 Corinthians 5, it says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're not minding earthly things. You know, he has given us the ministry of ministering to the saints, encouraging the saints to walk in under the lordship of Jesus Christ, walking in holiness, you know. The opposite of that is minding earthly things. You name those earthly things. There's this world is full of earthly things that is set up to, if we're minding earthly things, then Jesus Christ is not our Lord. You know, what's the thing in your life that draws you the most, you know, that you spend thinking about, that you spend your thought life on? Minding earthly things. Then verse 20, here's where I wanted to get to. He says, for our conversation, that word conversation means walk in life. My walk in life, Paul is saying, is in heaven. The way I'm walking in life is portraying that I am heavenly minded. I'm not thinking on earthly things. My God, my belly is not my God. I'm not glorying in my shame. He said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I like this through this whole chapter, how the Apostle Paul is acknowledging him as Lord. I am looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You know, maybe today you're struggling with things that are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. But look what it says, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, just acknowledge those things before the Lord this morning, whatever it may be. You know your life. I don't. Every one of us knows what you struggle with. But it says that he is able to do it for you. If you cry out for help, he is able to do it for you. If you just humble yourself under his lordship, whereby he is able even to subdue. That word subdue means to bring down. Bring down to where you are no longer master. You're no longer owner. You're no longer in control. You know, my For example, my father-in-law, some of you know him, he used to train quite a few horses, and he doesn't so much anymore. But people would bring him horses that basically were way out of control, uncontrollable. And I've witnessed it quite a few times. Within an hour or two, this horse was completely subdued under his control. He could tell it to walk up to him, and it would walk up to him, and he had a way to do it. But that horse was subdued unto him. And in the same way, it says we need to be, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so as we yield, you know, whatever you're struggling with, maybe you're struggling with sin today, he is able to subdue it if you're willing to make him Lord of your life, to humble yourself. You know, my father-in-law is able to subdue these horses to himself. But, you know, here, Jesus Christ is able to subdue our passions, our fleshly wants, our earthly mind. He's able to subdue all that if we resign our will. But it's important. Micah chapter 7, I'm going to read one verse there. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the seas. So as we make Jesus Christ our Lord, he will subdue all our iniquities. We'll no longer be living in sin. You know, if we're living in sin today, it's because we have not made Jesus Christ our Lord. Because the Bible says he will subdue all of our iniquities. You know, that's the reason he came. He came to set us free, to subdue those sin passions within us and to cleanse us and make us a new creature. We go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, it says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Why? Because Jesus Christ subdues him. And therefore, you know, he who, that word committeth sin is a continual practice of sin. It's habitually living in sin. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. You know, he's under the lordship of the devil because Jesus Christ came to set us free. For the devil sinneth from the beginning for this purpose. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us, you know, as we bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ, enables us to live a victorious life over sin, that we're no longer a slave to sin. And then it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. You know, there's two kingdoms. In this way are the children of God manifest, and the children of devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And so it's very important. If we're going to live a victorious Christian life, it's important that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because without him being Lord, you will not be able to live the Christian life in reality. And so John brings out that point that when someone truly, Jesus Christ is truly Lord, his iniquities are subdued. They're no longer controlling his life. I'm not saying that we don't fall. The Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But it should not be the part of the normal Christian life. If. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. So if you are in sin, your life is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Philippians 3 that your end is destruction. It's black and white. Your end is destruction. And there's many aspects, areas that need to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and just go through a list here of all these things. First of all, I'm going to read, before I go through the list, I'm going to read Colossians 3, verse 24, just to bring out the lordship of Jesus Christ. It says, knowing that of the Lord, here Brother Stephen was talking about receiving a reward this morning, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The Lord Christ. He is Lord. You serve him. Because you have made him Lord, there is a reward. And so, you know, in everything we do, it needs to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to start reading in verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and scriptural songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, you know, in our teaching, in our admonishing, you know, that needs to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It needs to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ, our teaching, admonishing, our singing, you know, making melody in our hearts. You know, our singing needs to be coming because the Lord Jesus Christ is there and has put joy in my heart to sing. And it's, so our singing needs to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ, everything we do. And then verse 17, it says, and whatsoever ye do in word, all the words that you speak. You know, this is an area where the Lord, I desire to, for the Lord to more and more to take lordship in my life. The words that I speak, that they truly may minister grace to those that hear, edifying. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so the words we speak need to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then it says, or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Your deeds, you know, are they the deeds that you do? Are you doing them to be seen of men, or are you doing them in secret so that the Lord gives glory? Your deeds, those need, that you do, need to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything we do. 18 and 19, you know, our marriages need to function under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he has given us instruction. Next, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So our marriages need to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then it says, children, obey. Obey your parents in all things. You know, children need to be under, can show that they are under the lordship of Jesus Christ by being obedient to their parents. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, it says, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, this is instruction for us as fathers. You know, how we should relate to our children and having that under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Remember, verse 24, he says, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Then it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You know, we could use this as an employee situation with an employer. You know, what does that look like under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are you doing it because God says, pleasing Him because God says to, or because it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You're doing it because you fear God. You know, God's looking down. God has given instruction. How are you in your workplace, in your work ethic? You know, the Lord, it needs to, our work ethics need to be under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 23, says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, this this verse deals with our attitudes on how we do things. You know, our attitudes need to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, heartily, motivation, not just with, yeah, I guess I can. Do I have to? A slothful attitude. The Bible says heartily. You know, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. You know, your attitudes need to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do it with heart, motivation, and whatever, you know. If you're asked to do something, sure, yes, I can do it. How can I get it done, you know? Or, you know, in that attitude, the Lord can use for His kingdom, for His glory, for His honor. And so our attitudes need to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, a slothful attitude, you know, it's not inspiring. It's not, yeah, it's just not fun to be around. You know, but somebody is heartily and motivated, you know, that's what inspires and that's what brings glory to God. It shows under, especially as Christians, it shows that we are under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Then it, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we do all these things because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but who are these things done unto? They're done unto our fellow brothers and sisters and other men. You know, the people in the last day, they came to Jesus. He says, they said, when did we see you in prison? When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? And Jesus says, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And so all these things, you know, I share, doing it heartily as for the Lord, because we are under His Lordship, we are doing it unto our brothers and sisters and our fellow men, even unbelievers, you know, to show the light of the world, though we are doing it as unto the Lord. It says, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Then verse 24 there, it says, knowing, you can be rest assured you shall receive the reward. Why? For you serve the Lord Christ. You have made Him owner. You have made Him master. You can be rest assured you're going to receive the reward if you yield your life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It says, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 25. But, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You know, if our marriages and stuff and our children not obeying the parents and all these lists of everything we do is not under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you can also be rest assured that you shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. You know, sometimes it's within man to think, well, I'm maybe a little bit more better. I'm a little bit more special. I can get by with this. I can. Did anybody ever have that thought? I can get by with this, but, you know, no, you're not. There's no respect of persons. If you refuse to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, don't think you're a little bit more special somehow in God's eye and you'll get by with it. God is no respecter of persons. It says there, for he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. That word shall, there's no getting around it. So it's important to, you know, in everything we do, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Make him Lord of your life. That's my encouragement today, that you would make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, because he truly is Lord. He's coming back as Lord. And if you don't, you're the one, and I am the one, that will pay for the consequences of not making him Lord. And so I just encourage you. That's my heart today, to the Jesus Christ truly would be Lord. If you want to, you can turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Jesus gives a parable here. Luke 19, verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 12. I'll start at verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So I want you to notice here that Jesus called 10 servants. There were 10 of them. And he delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Well, Jesus Christ still has not come, and you and I are occupying till he comes. And he has delivered unto us his word. He has delivered unto you and I his word. His word we have in his hand. And we looked at many different aspects of his word already. And so I just wanted to bring that out. He called 10 servants, and he delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy till I come. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this man be Lord over us. And so his citizens sent a message back saying, we will not have this man Lord or reign over us. And so my question is today, how do you and I send a message that we hate him by not occupying in his word? You know, did they send a letter? I don't think so. You know, remember Jesus says, if you love me, keep my word. You know, that's how we express our love, by keeping his word. And so we also send a message by not keeping his word. We're sending a different message. It says, but his citizens hated him. We're sending him a message saying that I hate you, you know, when we don't occupy in his word, when he's not Lord of our life. And so we want to send messages that say, I love you, Lord. In the words that I speak, am I sending a message that I hate him by corrupt communication proceeding forth from my mouth? Or am I sending a message saying, I love you, Lord, by letting no corrupt communication come out and speaking words that minister grace unto the hearers? You know, one way we're sending a message, I hate you. The other one, sending a message, I love you. And so, you know, if our marriage isn't functioning under his word, he has given a specific instruction how our marriages should function. You know, are we simply sending a message saying, I hate you, because we're not willing to bow under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Because if we bow under the lordship, our marriage will function according to God's word. You know, we will have love for our wives, and our wives will be submissive unto us, and husbands will not be bitter against them. Or are we saying what they said, we will not have this man reign over our marriage? But, you know, we want our marriages to send a message, I love you, by occupying his word until he comes. Loving our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and not be bitter against them, and wives submitting themselves unto their husbands. You know, children being disobedient to their parents, you know, you're sending a message out to Jesus Christ, I will not have this man reign over me. You're sending a message, I hate him. You know, it's very sobering when you think of it in that way. And so we want you children to send a message that you're going to have the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of your life, too, by obeying your parents and resigning yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about fathers' relationships with children, discouraging, provoking them to anger. You know, when we do that, are we sending a message, I hate you, because he says not to? And so we talked about employees working for someone. Are we sending a message to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, one way or the other? Which one are you sending, love or hate? You know, with our attitudes, you know, being heartily and motivated because we're under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible, another place it says that we should not be slothful. You know, a slothful attitude sends a message of hate to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we will not have this man reign over our attitudes. We will not have him be Lord of our attitudes. You know, the Bible encourages us to have a heart of whatsoever we do heartily. You know, our singing and our thought life. You know, our thought life sends off a message of hate. You know, the Bible says that we should think on things that are true, honest, a good report. You know, it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us or lord over us. And so is your thought, what kind of message is your thought life sending to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it one of love or is it one of hate? You know, we are to think on things that are true. You know, I can testify today that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you let him be Lord, he will control your thought life. He'll subdue all those evil thoughts. He'll take control and give you good thoughts. I can testify that today, and I praise the Lord for it. You know, we talked about the belly, temperance, gluttony. What kind of message does that send toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Our eating habits. You know, some of that's been addressed here in our fellowship meals already. You know, what kind of message are we sending to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we just simply saying, sending a message like they did, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, you know, our life does send a message to him. And so it's important today that we send a message of love to him. It says, we will not have him, this man reign over us. You know, they were saying, we don't want him to be Lord. You know, in all these areas that I speak, you know, he needs to be Lord. He needs to reign over every one of them. We need to occupy till he comes. You know, we read in Philippians chapter 3, they were glorying in their shame, exposing their body and nakedness. You know, when people do that, they're sending a message of hate, that we hate him. You know, keeping your body covered in modest apparel sends a message you love him. Minding earthly things, you know, work, fun, pleasure, sports, cares of life, and never having time for heavenly things sends a message to him. Message of hate. The Bible talks about the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the saint, ministering, encouraging the saints to higher ground. You know, we need to, these things need to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not saying that we once in a while can't pull aside for fun, you know, and play games and that stuff. But, you know, when these things are way out of balance, and there's never time for work and there's never time for ministry, something is wrong. Something's wrong because that is what we will be doing when our life is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, there's ministry that Jesus Christ, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so, the building the things of his kingdom, these send a message of love. They send a love message to him, not a message of hate. So, what are you saying by your life? Are you resigning your will to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you saying, we will not have this man to reign over us? Now I'm going to continue reading verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And so, remember I said that he called 10 servants? He called 10 of them, and only 2 of them occupied till he came. Only 2 out of the 10. That's 1/5 of them. Only 2 of them occupied till he came. The rest of them didn't. And it says, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him that pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So last verse here, verse 27. But those mine enemies, now he calls them enemies. Up there he calls them citizens. They sent a message that they hated him by not occupying. And today, you know, it's important that we occupy and let him be Lord of our life. Or else you will just be one of those in verse 27. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign, those that would not that I would be Lord of their life, bring them hither and slay them before me. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, that we're going to see the importance of Jesus Christ truly being Lord. Right here is the last verse that I want to just focus on. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, you don't want him to reign over him, this will be your end. And so I don't want that for anyone here today. I want you to make Jesus Christ your Lord. You know, whatever you're struggling with today, you know, find brothers and sisters to pray with. The Bible says, confess your sin that you may be healed. You know, confess it. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed, it says. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so my heart today with this message is to encourage you to let Jesus Christ be Lord of lords and King of kings of your life and every aspect of his word. Occupy therein. Because Jesus can't be Savior unless he's Lord. If he's not Lord, he will not save you when he returns. See, we just read this parable here. He was, even though he was the Savior, he wasn't their Savior because he was not Lord. they did not allow him to reign over him. So I'll close with that. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And Lord, we just humble ourselves before you and pray that your word would bring forth fruit, Lord, and help us to truly yield our life as Lord, to you as Lord, Father, and that we would occupy therein and not want to be our own masters, our own owners, Lord. You have bought us, and I acknowledge, Lord, we are yours. Thank you for this day, and may you be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Time over another day.